Welcome to the Fabric Podcast and our conversation, Relationships That Work. Find resources to share these conversations with people in your life at fabricmpls.com and share your own thoughts there or by finding us on social media at fabricmpls.
Greetings. It is now Fabric's ninth week of being an entirely virtual community. Not that I'm counting, of course. But we will continue to be a virtual community until it's safe for us to gather physically together again. So thank you. Thank you for staying safe. Thank you for distancing properly. Thank you for the hygiene you need to practice to not spread COVID-19. Your practicing those things is what breaks the chain of transmission so that other people who might die otherwise can stay safe. And the fact that we do that also means that we will be able to reopen the world in bigger and better ways all the sooner. So thank you for your diligence to that and that this far, and let's keep it up, okay? Anyway, for these weeks here with Fabric, we've been talking about relationships at work, and this is important stuff, folks. I mean, our relationships are under siege right now, all the more just because of the unusual circumstances of isolation from or isolation with people that we just aren't practiced in handling that way. What we know is that relationships at work are the relationships at work. You know, so that's why we're talking about this right now. So what do I want to do today isn't to push on the content here in this fourth week. No, I think we have enough. And the point is what we want to do is pause, which is what we talked about last week, right? We're going to apply that to ourselves. We're going to pause and we're going to sit with this a little bit, take a week to do that so that we can do a couple things. One is we can remember what it is that we've talked about this far, and then we can begin to integrate that, not just know it or have learned it or, you know, God forbid, forget it, and so that we can also practice it. So where have we been these last 3 weeks? Well, 3 weeks ago, we started with a new way of looking at and understanding our relationships. And basically, it means this. I mean, we're getting rid of this old standard that my relationship isn't perfect, that it's not as good as it should be. It doesn't sound like the fairy tales and like they look in the movies. They're not supposed to. They can't. That isn't how life works. Now, the fact that your relationship might be off course, that things go wrong in your relationship, that you've got problems there, that's how life works. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's how life works. And it doesn't mean you don't have a great relationship. Covey uses this example of an airplane being technically off course approximately 90% of its flight. Nonetheless, it uses the other 4% to correct itself so that it gets back on course over and over again and ends up where it's supposed to be at approximately the right time. And all those little deviations, that's just what flying an airplane is like. Your relationship works the same way. Just because you're off course sometimes and you've got problems in your relationship doesn't mean you're a bad person, you've done something wrong, or something is just broken. No, that's a sign that you are human beings. There's no way for 2, 3, or 20 people to be trying to share life together and not have friction and tension and disappointment and, you know, problems. I mean, people are different and we're complicated, and that's how we work out life together. Now, that may sound like a kind of a sad way to think about it. That's, wow, great. What a wonderful thing to think about for my relationships. But the point isn't in those deviations, right? The point is, what do you do with the other 10%? How do you get back on course? And as we focus on that, if we take our focus off of what isn't quite right, but how can we get back to where we want to go, suddenly we find that the quality of our relationships can be pretty amazing, even though we're imperfect. So what I want to do today, and taking this little bit of a pause, is to hear some stories from a couple of Fabric folks who are living examples that they're not perfect, but they've been learning and practicing some of the stuff that we've been talking about. So I want you to do that. First of all, I want you to meet Caitlin Sitch, someone I know rather well. Yeah, it's my oldest daughter. She's kind of kept herself connected with the Fabric community, even though she's lived far away for a long time. In fact, tells me regularly what I could have done better in my messages and so on. So I'd like to hear her talk a little bit about being a mom and a wife. After all, it is Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. My name is Katie. I live outside Rochester, New York with my husband and our 3 kids. Hannah is 5, Nate is 3, Eli is 2 months old. The three of them keep us busy and really take a lot of our focus, and personally is where I put a lot of my energy and my relationship building. We happen to live far away from our friends and family, and because of that, we will send out pictures a lot that kind of capture our day. Just looking at those pictures, and something I've noticed on the social media platforms in general, makes everything look awfully rosy. It looks like I have my life together. It looks like we're all fantastic moms. Nothing ever goes wrong. And in reality, that's just not true. Life is a lot messier. Being a mom is a lot messier. And it is not always pretty. It is not always successful. And despite trying our darndest every second of every day, it's sometimes just completely feels like we've lost. So I wanted to tell you about one day in particular where if you look at our snapshots, it looked amazing. It looked perfect. But the reality is a lot different than that. That morning I woke up out of bed and all three of my kids were covered in pee, which was just a great way to start the day. So everyone got baths and sheets were changed. The baby then went on to puke repeatedly. So he got several clothing changes. I got a couple shirts through that day, which then led to lots and lots of laundry that I truly try to tackle, but it never fully gets done. And I get frustrated because there's a load in the washing machine. I never fold it. It's always sitting out and acting really great on my nerves. Looking at it, it also doesn't show you all of the times that I raised my voice, the ultimatums that I laid down, the fact that every time I had to feed my kids, which amazingly seems to happen all the time, I want to walk out the door. I hate it. It's not my proudest moments, and it happens three times a day at least. You don't see all of the messes that are carted around by these amazing projects that we might happen to make and take pictures of. You don't see all of the toys from the games and everything that we have to clean up and everything like that. They don't show you the fact that the baby is fussy a lot of the time. And because of that, and because of the fact that I have two older kids, I wear him a lot of the day. And so then I am doing things like playing in the yard while being strapped to the baby. I am raking leaves while strapped to a baby. And that really wears on me. I am far too introverted to do that all day long. And because of that, it also, it's a reality that sometimes when my husband comes back from work, currently he's working at home, so when he comes down the stairs, I yell at him. He asks, what do you need? What do you help? Something simple and benign. And I yell at him because I don't know what else to do. And I have been touched out. I have been talked out. I have been needed out. Despite loving being a mom and always wanting it, it is really hard. But I, at the end of the day, I also know that I am a good mom. And I know that everyone out there that is trying is a good parent. And that's what's the most important. Our relationships are with our kids are crucial. It's creating the humans that are going to run the world follow after us. But it's not going to be perfect. And expecting it to be and feeling, measuring yourself to all of these glossy photos and perfect moments on social media is not realistic. It's not fair to yourself or your kids. So just know that we're all in the thick of it. It's messy. You might hear my kids fighting right now. That's real life. At the end of the day, I love them. They love me. They're growing up to be great. But it is messy. It is dirty. And the best thing I can do is just keep trying. So all of you out there who are stuck at home still with your kids and overwhelmed, know that you're doing great. You're not going to be able to be the perfect homeschooling mom. And that's okay. That's good.
You won't be a perfect homeschool mom. And that's okay. It is good. Thanks, Katie. It is great, in fact, I think. Never underestimate the power of love in a relationship, and even one that is flawed and imperfect. One of the things we need to remember is that forgiveness isn't just something that we give to other people. Forgiveness is something that we need to learn how to give to ourselves. I mean, life is hard, and it takes a lot of practice. And that means while we're practicing, we're not always getting it right. And one of the beautiful things about life is that even the people who don't get it all right, that aren't perfect, still get to play. And that includes me. So I want to take you to another corner of our Fabric community right now to meet someone who has recently had a milestone birthday, yet one that I barely remember anymore. But that occasion precipitated an exchange that not only put the perfect and imperfect in perspective, but helped remind her and focus her on what we really are in relationships for in the first place, and what we focus on when it's so easy to be distracted or forget what our relationships are really all about. I want you to meet Erin McGillivray here from South Minneapolis and her mom, Elaine McGillivray, who lives up by the Canadian border. They've got a story to share with us.
So I'm Erin, and I'm here with my mom today, Elaine. I'm here in Minneapolis. And where are you, Mom?
I'm at Lake Vermilion, and my office is in the laundry room.
Up in northern Minnesota. So we're here today to share a little story, a little experience that we had last Friday, which happened to be not only May Day, but my birthday. Happened to be kind of a big one, forever 29. I turned 40 last Friday, and the cool thing is I got to see my parents at a safe distance. I hadn't seen them since March 1st, and so they showed up. We're sitting outside, or I'm outside on the front step. I think that's how it was, right, Mom? Mm-hmm. And I think kind of the first thing that happened is she handed me two cards. One was a traditional card with an envelope with my name written on it. And the other one was this. I'm just going to briefly show it to you for a second, but it was just a card with no envelope. So already I'm confused. And the two of us, Mom and I, had just had a rough miscommunication the night before. So maybe we were both feeling a little, I don't know how you were feeling, Mom, but I was feeling a little apprehensive and anxious about how this was going to go. So so that's kind of where I was coming from. And she hands me these cards and I look at this one and all I see at first is happy birthday to a mother. So right there, I'm confused and just a little perplexed, like I'm not a mother and I don't understand what this is, but I'll read it to you. It says, happy birthday to a mother who has everything, ability, looks, charm, talent, personality, and me. And still I was like, what? But then I see in here, my brain's not really comprehending, but it says, over the hill, keep this card, 1991, 40th, love, Erin. So this was the card that I gave you, Mom, right?
Right.
On your 40th birthday. And somehow you managed to keep it all these years. And at this point, I'm still just like, huh? Looking at her, but playing along like, so wait, you kept this card, and like glossing over, not really understanding what was going on. But so then we kind of got a chance to talk about it afterwards. So you kept this card all these years and you just found it recently, right?
Right. It's part of the stay at home process. Those of us who are not working anymore have time to do things like going through old pictures and old cards and scrapbooks and so forth. And I found this pile of miscellaneous stuff, early 1990s it was labeled.
So wait, are your things organized in years and you just like picked 1990s? Or
okay. I have a couple scrapbooks, but this was not. It was just a pile, early 1990s. And I start going through it and I find this card, which to be honest, forgotten about. And I find it and have in Erin's 11-year-old handwriting, over the hill, happy 40th birthday, keep this card. That was the part that really struck me. Thank goodness I found it. But we did have that incident the night before. So I was particularly happy that this card had this touch tone between us that was something serendipitous and out of the blue in a way.
Right. Yeah. I was shocked. Not only I was still confused about when this was from and how you kept it all these years, but that you just found it now, like randomly. What made you start going through stuff from the 1990s?
Just to get it more organized. And it takes a long time because you start reflecting. You're not just going through piles. It's not like going through your files. It's like, right. Oh, we did this or we did that.
Right.
And wonderful memories, which came rushing back as well.
Yeah. Do you remember running across this card any other time since 1991?
If I did, I don't remember.
Yeah. So that's what's crazy about it is we'd had that like really trying moment the night before this, and to have this come so serendipitously and coincidentally the next day struck me as the last thing before I went to bed that night, how unique this was. And you can get flowers for events and people can surprise you, but not most people are going to get something like this. So, so thank you. Thanks for doing that. And it was just sort of, even though we hadn't yet worked and still haven't worked through, you know, some of our challenging things in our relationship, but we will, right? Especially now that we've done this, you know, this just let me know like, all right, she really cares. So thank you.
Thank you.
Gratitude is a beautiful thing. And sometimes that simple gift of thankfulness is all we need to remind us of what really matters in our relationship and keep our eyes focused on that than some other things. My sales pitch is always that it's good to actually work out what your destination, your vision for your different relationships are so that you can articulate that and use it to remind yourself and one another. But sometimes the strangest things happen, like a 30-year-old birthday card that resurfaces and does what you couldn't have ever done for yourself. And it helps you remember what that destination was all about. My guess is that Elaine and Aaron are going to be having a lot of conversations over that silly card in the years to come. And that's going to be pretty helpful to them. So where have we been so far? You know, we talked about this idea that we aren't always going to be on course in our relationships, and that's not the problem. The goal is to find how can we use some time to get ourselves back on course. We also talked about this idea that we do need a destination. We need to know where we're going so that when we choose to get back on course, we actually know where we want to steer things. Then we talked about one other thing this last week that we want to hear a story about as well. And that is this idea of a pause, something that can separate the way we're programmed, the way we carry baggage and we developed habits, so that stimulus and response chain of events that is just so tightly locked together. And how can we pull those apart? How can we pause and stop so stimulus doesn't just drive response and we can actually choose who we want to be? Now, picking out this pause, and that's what I talked about last week, is like, how can we identify things that can function as reminders so that we know that we ought to pause? But that's only one side of the picture. There's another side of it that says we do have some natural pauses, or we have some buffers that were built into our world right now that we may not even be aware of that are functioning to help us, you know, be the better person that we'd like to be in our relationships right now. And sometimes those get stripped away. In fact, that's, I think, what we're experiencing with a lot of our pandemic situation, is that you're isolated from or isolated with people. And, you know, some of the natural buffers that we have are either way too big because we just can't get together, or they're way too small and they're not helping us anymore. So we need to find ways to cope with that. We got a couple of people that are doing some amazing thinking and asking some great questions about this right now. I want you to meet Dustin and Mimi.
Hello, Fabric. It's Mimi.
I'm Dustin.
And we are here to talk a little bit about doing everything in your house now. Working and living in things.
Doors, pauses.
Mm-hmm, that stuff. So Dustin is a creative director in an ad agency, and like a good way to explain how difficult it is to move between like home life and work life is he was walking through the living room today and he was on his earbuds talking to somebody and said, let me just look this up, let me send you the deck that we sent to Lionel Richie.
Yeah, it's gotten to be such a blurring. We used to, you know, I worked downtown. I could get in a car and commute for 30 minutes and then work, and you're in the physical space there and you're moving from room to room to room for meeting. And then you get back in your car and you go pick up your kids and get home and come through the door. And now it's all one big blur. Like, we don't have any doors to go through. And so the work life and the personal life is kind of getting all enmeshed, and it's become difficult, because sometimes it'll, you know, you'll be on a difficult call and then you come downstairs and have to be cheery and make sandwiches for lunch, and then you go back, hop upstairs and get on a call, and then you just keep switching, and we have not quite figured out how to pause or how to, there's literally less doorways to go through, so you're constantly sort of in this, I don't know, mess of two worlds under one roof.
Yeah, and so for me, I'm a behavior coach, I work in an elementary school, so for me it's less difficult. The work is not different. I'm either helping kids online, like virtually do school, or I'm helping my own kids virtually do school live and in person from here. But for me, it's more about trying to be present with the kid that's in front of me, the virtual kid or like my actual kid, and not thinking ahead to the next thing I need to do, or thinking back about the last interaction that I had. So just taking those times to be really mindful about that.
Yeah, because we're just switching. This whole Zoom world is difficult because you're switching from meeting to meeting with different groups of people, and you just click a button, but you're standing and sitting in the exact same spot, and suddenly you're in a different world where the kids come up and try to talk to you about something, and suddenly you're back in this world, and it's we have not figured it out.
Nope.
If you do, let us know. But I guess that's the conversation we're in. All right.
We haven't figured it out. If you do, let us know. But this is a conversation we are in. Exactly. Thank you, Dustin and Mimi. I couldn't have said it better. I really do believe that when we know the right questions to be working on, it doesn't really matter that we find the answers or not, because there really is no such thing, and those answers always change anyway. What really does matter is that we continue to ask these important and life-giving questions. That's what it's all about. Now, I would imagine you have also experienced a lot of this spatial collapse that Mimi and Dustin were talking about, living our lives in so much smaller spaces than we normally do. And along with that collapse comes a collision of our relationships, a collision of our emotions, a collision of all the stuff that's around us that we normally have natural breaks from. And that means we need to be creative. We need to find new ways of creating that pause so that we can walk through those doors of our relationship in ways that we really are the person we want to be, and we act on the values that are important to us. So it's an important issue for us all the time. It's always hard to be doing that, and during the pandemic and these situations we're in now, it's all the harder. So what does that say? It says one thing very clearly to me. It says we need to be nice to each other. We need to be nice to ourselves. We need to offer a little extra kindness, a little extra grace, a little extra forgiveness to one another, so we can be the kind of people who aren't torn down by a situation like we're all living through right now, but we can actually grow because of it. That's something we can do together as the fabric. Now, I had three goals for us in this week, and it was not to give you new material that to work on, but to, first of all, review what we've talked about in the last 3 weeks, and you just did that. We heard Katie talking about what it means to know that we aren't always going to be on course in our relationships. We heard Erin and her mom, Elaine, talking about these simple things that can help us remember what really matters in our relationships and what it's really about in case we happen to forget or be distracted from it. And then we heard Mimi and Dustin talking about finding new ways of creating those pauses so that we can be the person we want to be on the other side of the doors of our relationships. Important stuff. And so that review allows you then to do the next piece, which is to integrate that thinking. What does this mean for you? Now, what's your story within it? We need to own this and have our own language, our own way of talking about this, so that we know what it means to us, and then we can begin to do that third piece, which is to practice it. You've got the perfect time to do it. Coming up is this national holiday, which is one of the very few that's focused on a relationship. It's Mother's Day. So whether it's about mothers or just relationships in general, How this be a time when you say, my relationship's important and I'm going to invest some extra time and energy around them? Yeah, try to make it part of the 10% of getting back on course, but don't be surprised if some of that 90% sneaks in there. That's what happens, right? And we can do it anyway. You know, Jesus was used to people like us, people who get worn out and overwhelmed and discouraged and, you know, beat up by the fact that we're not who we want to be. And he knew how to talk to us. He said at one point, come to me, all you who are worn out and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Sign me up, Jesus. I'm all there for it. That's what I'm looking for. And then he went on and said, take my yoke. I said, whoa, hold it. What? My yoke? A yoke, that's a burden. That's something I got to carry. I thought you were going to allow me to rest. Now you're giving me a burden. And Jesus says, yeah. But, you know, relationships that work are relationships that work. I mean, there is work involved, but it's a different kind. He says, learn from me, right? I have a new way of seeing the world, and you need to see the world. You need to see your life. You need to see how relationships actually happen the way I am seeing them happen right now. And he said, learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble of heart, and I have rest for your soul. Wow. Rest for your soul. I don't have to be so full of that anxiety, so full of this need to perform, to do something, but I can just be with this and with myself. That's pretty amazing. He says, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Yeah, it's a different kind, a different way of living. And that's what we're trying to work on together, knowing as we weave this fabric together that is broad and is deep, that it gives us some resilience and some strength that we do not have for ourselves. And as we live into that and integrate our lives into that, weave our lives into that, we allow others to experience the same sort of gift as well. So thank you for being with me today. Next week, we're going to be taking another step into this exploration of relationships at work. And we are going to be looking at some of the ways that we can stop wasting our energy and thinking we're trying to get back on track, but actually we're pushing ourselves off course and reversing that so that we find more of our life is spent getting on course and a little bit less off course. So we'll see you next week. Have fun remembering, integrating, and practicing. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening. Keep this conversation going with the people in your life. Share this podcast and resources. If you're looking to support this work financially, go to fabricmpls.com/give. A 5-star rating and review will also help others find us. Thanks again.